Welcome to the teaching ministry of Joe McGee. It's a common myth that some people are just lucky in life, but anything great has to be purposefully built. You don't just happen to find a great marriage, family, or life. You build one. Let's listen in as hope is restored through the knowledge of God's Word and gain the skills we need to build something great. And now, here's Jim.
Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We're talking about Biblical Parenting 101. Today we're talking about God had a plan. You ever wonder where babies come from? I mean, biologically, we know. We went and studied that in high school, you know, in biology, where babies come from. So human seed, you reap human crop. So corn seed, you reap corn crop. So wheat seed, you reap wheat crop. Like kind, reproducing like kind. But God made it so there'd be babies. You know, I remember thinking one time we went to the Tulsa Zoo. I had two toddlers and the baby elephant had been born. We wanted to go see the baby elephant. So I took my kids up there and they had the elephant section. Went over there and big elephants, little elephants, mid-sized elephants, looking for the baby elephant. Been born 2 days earlier. And finally I went over and asked one of the zoo people. We couldn't find it. I thought, well, maybe it's sick. Maybe they got it put up. Maybe they've not let it outside yet with the other elephants. It's too small. So I asked one of the zoo people, so where's the baby elephants? Well, it's over there in the pen with the other elephants. And no, we were just over there. There's no baby elephant over there. So sure there is. He walked us back over, my wife and our two kids, and he said, that's it right there. And he pointed to this small elephant. I said, no, I mean the one that was born 2 days ago. He said, that's it. I said, you're kidding. I said, they come out like that? I said, I couldn't get that in the back of my pickup truck. And man, it's amazing how big those things are when they come out. And I thought, now, wouldn't that be great? I told my wife as we were walking back to the car that day, wouldn't it be great if kids were that way? You go to the hospital to have a baby, and 2 days later, you walk out with this 16-year-old pimply-faced, floppy-eared kid. And what's that? That's our baby we just had. It's going to be with us about 2 years, and they're going to be out of here. But God doesn't do that. God gives you babies when you don't even know what you're doing. Can't even afford curtains yet. You're having to buy Pampers, you know. You don't know who you are, but you got this child you got to take care of. But God knew what he was doing because children learn by watching. Luke 6, verse 40 says, a child when fully taught will be just like their teacher. And what we're going to learn today is about what God had in mind when he thought about children. Now, today, we got a society that really thinks children are a bad thing. You know, a lot of people, it's changed. America has changed. The strength of our nation was always the next generation. We were always big on kids and having kids and raising kids, training kids. Make sure your kids went to church and knew the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule and doing to others. Now, all of a sudden, today, it's like, well, who'd want to have a child? Well, man, they cost you money. Cost you time. Can't have any fun anymore. Can't drive a sports car. Got to get a minivan. You know, I got to go to ball practice, help out with their algebra. Man, by the time we get them out of the house, they'll be old and decrepit and wore out and broke. You know, and the world's really painted a really bad picture about kids. Well, God saw it as right the opposite. God saw children as a reward. So it was an incredible thing. Now, let me tell you right now, having a lot of children will not make you holy and famous. Having a lot of children make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do with them once they show up. And that's why you need to be in the Word of God. Everything, again, that we've taught, everything God made hums with power. Water, fire, money, sex, marriage, children, everything God made, it's got his power in it. If you handle it right, it will bless you. If you handle it wrong, it's going to curse you. Children trained up in the way they should go, they're a blessing to society, to their community, to their neighborhood, to their family. Children not trained up right, they're a pain. Cost you money and time. They're abusive and they're ugly and they're lazy and they don't do what's right and they don't help other people and they're selfish and they're thumb suckers. They think about themselves all the time. They don't think about anybody else because everybody's born with flesh. We're all born a doofus. That's why the Bible's full of commands about teaching children and training children because we don't know anything when we come out. We're just here. Somebody has to teach you how to sit up and talk and walk and go to the bathroom, brush our teeth and feed ourselves and read and whatever. But then, all of a sudden, you realize now we're responsible for our own life. We become like who we hang around. Luke 6:40 talked about that, and then talked about in Proverbs 13:20. You want to be wise, you walk with wise men, a companion of fools will be destroyed. Each generation is reproducing itself, and that's sometimes not a good thing. That's why you got to have righteous people. When the righteous are promoted, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn because they're abusive, not only to themselves, but everybody else. We're trying to raise up a righteous people, a righteous generation, not a religious people, a righteous people, people who do what's right because it's right to do what's right. So let's just look here and give you a few scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, this is how God started off. Just giving God had a plan, he had an idea, and it was a good one. We just need to be doing it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created human beings in his own image. That's a nice thought. We're made in the image of God. We're created in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. How many kinds of God? Two, male and female. So then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. He went on and said, listen, I want you to take dominion over the earth. I want you to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Now, I know I read a lot of editorials, and I've been a school administrator and worked in church staff for a while. I was in the electrical industry for almost 10 years before I went back into school and went into the ministry. People have been talking about overpopulation ever since I can remember. We're running out of room, running out of space, running out of stuff. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but every human being on this planet, all 8.1 billion people, every human on this planet will fit inside the Jacksonville, Florida city limits. That's right. Every human on this planet will fit inside the Jacksonville, Florida city limits, which means there'll be nobody in Texas, California, nobody in Michigan, nobody in Detroit, nobody in New York City, nobody in Bangladesh, India, or China. They'd all be in Jacksonville, Florida. There's still plenty of room, people. There's plenty of land. We may not be treating it right. We might be abusing it, and sin is trying to kill this planet. We're killing the ozone and species of animals, but we're not dead yet. The Bible says there's at least 1,000 years left on this existing planet because Jesus hasn't come yet. When he does, we'll rule and reign for at least 1,000 years on this planet. So there's still 1,000 years of water, wheat, oil, gas, and everything else we need still right here on this existing planet. While we may be abusing it, we're not running out. So we've got to get the thinking straight before we just let somebody scare us into thinking something that's not true. So God said, be fruitful, multiply. And I don't think he said until the year 2000 or 2010 or whatever, and then it's going to get crazy and don't have any more babies. He never said that. Now, a lot of people are having babies today in our country, in America alone. This year, half of all babies born in our country this year will be born to women under 30 that are not married. Not married. We got more babies being born out of wedlock, almost than in wedlock, because people are still fornicating, but they may not be married. They may not be wanting children. They just got pregnant. Now, it wasn't what God had in mind. God had in mind that we'd get pregnant on purpose inside of marriage and reproduce ourselves, produce a godly seed. So let's look, and I'll show you after Genesis where he said, listen, be fruitful, multiply. Look what he said in Psalms 127. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, verse 1 of Psalm 127, talking about God's plan about children. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning to late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, can you imagine that? How come you're so happy? I got kids. I am so happy. I've got children. My wife has been married 37 years. We got six. We wanted five, but God does above and beyond all you can ask for things, so we've got six. Now, my father had 12 brothers and sisters. My father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. We came from really big families. So we didn't, you know, every generation tends to go the other direction. So I've got one sister. My wife's got two brothers, and that's it. But we came along, you know, I like to have a big family. I thought it was fun to go to family reunions and picnics and have people come over and go visit somebody, you know, and grow old with somebody. So it's just a different thought process. He says, as children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers in the city gates. Then the next psalm, Psalm 128, another short one, says this, how joyful are those who fear the Lord. All who follow his ways. It says, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like young, vigorous, young olive trees that sit around your table. And that was a type of prosperity back then. Olive trees were. This is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. God said children are a reward. God said children are a blessing. Psalms 112 is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. It says this. Psalm 112 says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commandments. Their children will be successful everywhere. The King James says that their seed will be mighty upon this planet. Who? People that fear God, delight in his commandments. Doesn't matter what the economy's doing. Doesn't matter who's president, who's in Congress. Doesn't matter who your boss is. If you fear God and delight in his word and are doing his words, then your children are going to be successful everywhere. It says this, that they themselves will be wealthy. Who? The parents of these children who are successful everywhere. They themselves will be wealthy. Their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They are confident and fearless. They can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, and they will have influence and honor. That's a promise from God. Well, you got to claim it. It's not automatic. You know, without faith, we don't please God. Without faith, we don't whip the devil. But God said, your children will be successful everywhere. It's going to be a great thing. Now I want to read you something out of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 2, God was speaking to the men of Malachi, and here's what he said. In verse 15 of Malachi, it says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body and spirit? You are his. And what does he want? Why did God give you a spouse, it says in the King James. Why did God give you a spouse? What does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. What's he want? I want a godly seed. I'm not just looking for kids, God said. The devil can use people. God uses people. I tell you, if there's something good happening on this planet today, it's happening through somebody's flesh. If there's something evil happening today, it's happening through somebody's flesh. God uses flesh. The devil uses flesh. That's why I want you to have godly flesh, godly seed. Not ungodly. I want somebody that's going to be a blessing to their community. Be successful. Own a business. Hire people. Give to the poor. Help the Red Cross. Go to church. Help build highways. Do something. I don't want somebody that's robbing stores, shooting people, snorting dope, and killing people on the highway because they're driving drunk. It's just two kinds of flesh. Those doing righteous and those not. There is a separation here. And when he says godly seed, what's a godly seed look like? Well, I'll give it to you. It's in Jude, verse 14. Jude talking here says this, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied about ungodly people. There's two kinds, godly, ungodly, wheat, tares, sheep, goats, righteous, unrighteous. There's always that separation in the Bible. And he said, but even Enoch prophesied about ungodly people. He said this, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done and for the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, who are ungodly? God said, well, you know why I gave you a wife? I'm looking for a godly seed. What if I don't have a godly seed? Then you have an ungodly seed. What's ungodly seed look like? Well, here it is. Ungodly seed looks like this. They are people who are grumblers and complainers. Now, who's that? Somebody that's ungodly. They're not trusting God for anything. They're not trusting God for favor, protection, increase, a raise, a bonus, a good job, a good spouse, a nice house. They're not trusting God for nothing. They're griping. Man, life stinks, man. My boss stinks, and paycheck stinks. My wife stinks. My daddy stinks, and this house stinks. And my car stinks, and the government stinks. Who is that? That's somebody that doesn't know God. They blame everybody in their life for their bad life. Man, if it wasn't for them, I'd be somebody. If it wasn't for them, I'd have something. If it wasn't for them, I'd make more money. They're always going to blame somebody. They're not responsible. It's somebody else's fault they're not doing well. And that's the devil. God said, I expect you to overcome, be more than a conqueror, go whip something, do something, achieve something, be something. That's why we have the stories of David and Goliath. Go do something. Don't just sit here and cry over this. So, man, that's ungodly. They're grumblers and complainers. Number two, they brag loudly about themselves. An ungodly person does not know who they are in Christ, so they're always trying to prove they're somebody in every conversation. Every conversation they have, they're trying to prove they're bigger and better, so they talk louder, they tell a bigger story, they brag about what they've done, where they've been, who they are. When you have to talk, they're ready to go because they only want to talk about themselves. Because since they don't know who they are, they have to prop themselves up. They need external affirmation constantly because they don't know who they are in God. A person knows who they are in God, they don't have to prove nothing. God loves me just like I am, warts and all. I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't have to earn nothing from anybody. God loves me just like I am. Therefore, I can walk into the room and be the miracle, not walk into the room and need the miracle. Really different process. So it goes and said they brag loudly about themselves, but then number three, they flatter others to get what they can out of them. They're not trying to compliment you. They're trying to get something out of you. And he goes and he talks about this. But remember, my dear friends, what the apostles of our Lord Jesus said. They told you in the last days there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. Who's an ungodly child? Somebody that only thinks about themselves. I. I didn't get as much ice cream. I didn't get as much pizza. What is that? That's a grumbler and a complainer. That's somebody they don't care about anybody but themselves. They're selfish. They're not saved. They don't know Jesus. They don't know their love. And so trying to demand attention constantly. Goes on and says, but godly people said, these people trying to satisfy their own ungodly desires, these people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They don't bring unity. They're constantly dividing everywhere they go. Can't hold down a job. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's spirit in them. They're not saved. They have nobody to live. It's their flesh. Their flesh drives them everywhere they go. God said, when I gave you a spouse, I want you to reproduce a godly seed by teaching what I said. That's why Psalm 78, God said, I made a law in Israel that you teach your children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God. He said, I want you to teach your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great, and your great-great-great-grandchildren. God said in Genesis 18, he said, I know Abraham. What do you know about him, God? He will teach his children and his children's children and all those of his house that I might bring these blessings upon him. It wouldn't do any good for me to bless Abraham if he's just going to be selfish, grow old, and die with it. I know him. He'll teach his family. Because then I'm going to bring these blessings on him, because he's going to pass on not only the blessings, but the faith he has in me to the next generation, to Isaac, to Jacob. And all of a sudden, we're going to have a whole family line that my son can be born through. What an incredible thought. He said this. They follow their natural priest instincts because they do not have God's spirit. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Await the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. And this way you will keep yourself in God's love. He said godly people build their faith up. They pray in the spirit all the time. And they walk in love toward other people. Now, here's what we're going to learn. God made it so they'd be babies. But they have to be trained. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And so what we've got here is a situation where I am commanded, Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Mom and Dad, I command you to teach these scriptures, these laws, diligently to your children. When you get up, when you walk by the way, when you sit down and you lie down. In other words, they're born empty-headed. Teach them about me. Isaiah 28:9-10. Whom shall we teach the deep doctrines of God to? Those weaned from their mothers, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. In other words, you start teaching by repetition. Children learn by telling them over and over and over and over again. That's how children learn. And they learn by watching us. I remember I'd get mad at my wife sometimes and say, what's the matter with my children? Why do they act the way? My wife said, go look in the mirror. They act just like you. I thought, oh my goodness, I don't have a parenting problem. I got a parent problem. I need to grow up, because every day my children are watching me, how I act, how I react, how I handle pressure, how I solve problems. I'm training them by my life, not what I say, but how I live. That's why Jesus said, don't tell me you love me, show me you love me. So parenting, man, you're training either actively or you're training passively. And I got to make sure I'm training on purpose. The thing is, if I don't know the word of God myself, how can I pass that on? How can I even say I love them if I don't have the love of God myself? Listen, the only source of love in the universe is God himself. God is love. It's not what he does, it's who he is. And so if I've got the love of God, then I can pass it on to somebody else. So it's important that I stay hooked up, that I'm saved, that I'm in church, reading my Bible, hanging out with the right people, thinking the right thoughts, growing in God's grace, becoming prosperous in what I set my hand to, being blessed, having a good work ethic, doing what's right, treating people right, doing what's right even if it costs me, swearing to my own hurt, the Bible says. There's a way to live to launch the next generation to be a blessing. You know, Abraham Lincoln knew it. He said, man, the next generation, they're going to be just like, they're going to take over your schools, your universities, your businesses, and your churches. So you can adopt all the policies you please, but how they carry it out is going to be dependent upon them. Martin Luther, years ago, when they were going to develop public schools in Prussia, he said, I'm concerned that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell. Talking about public education? You know, I'm talking about public education. He said, I'm afraid that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in engraving the Holy Scriptures upon the hearts of the children. For every institution that is not increasingly occupied with the Word of God will and must become corrupt. Martin Luther knew, if you don't get the Word of God in, you're not going to be able to live right, because you won't have wisdom. Because wisdom comes from the Word of God. Psalm 34:11, I tell you, you ought to pray this over your child every day. I don't care if your children are 3 or 53 and live halfway around the world. God's Word knows no distance. Psalm 34:11 says this, hearken to me, you children, come to me and I will teach you the fear of God. And the fear of God, Proverbs says, is the beginning of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? The fear of God. Well, it's not something you get by laying on of hands or walking around somebody 7 times. You need to be taught the fear of God. That's why you need to be reading the Bible, going to a church where you're learning the Word of God. It says, come to me, I will teach you the fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16 says, wisdom will bring you length of days, riches, honor, and will make you happy. Well, I like to have a happy child. Did you know that? You know, the first child ever born on this planet, Cain, had a problem so severe that God came down personally to deal with him. The first child ever born on planet Earth, Cain, had a problem so severe, God came down to deal with him. You know what the problem was? He wasn't happy. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, God comes down to talk to Cain, and here's what God asked Cain. Cain, why are you not happy? Why aren't you happy? And Cain is so mad over the deal with Abel about the sacrifice, he wouldn't answer God. And so God says, I'll tell you why you're not happy. You're not happy because you're not doing what's right. Now, the reason you have parents and teachers and schools and Sunday school, you're trying to teach children what's right. so they'll make right choices and have right results in life. Well, Cain's not doing what's right. He said, you're not happy because you're not doing what's right. If you do what's right, it'll be well with you. He said, but since you're not doing what's right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must learn to master it. And unfortunately for Cain, he never did learn to master it. God wants us to have happy kids. If you read the first seven Proverbs, Proverbs 1 through 7, you're reading it four times. It's God's will we be a happy people. It's God's will that we be a prosperous people. It's God's will we be a healthy people. Now, the thing is, there's the devil trying to steal our money, steal our health, steal our sanity, steal our cash. The devil's a thief, John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we've been given authority over the devil. We're to exercise it. That's why the devil's afraid of the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Mark in the New Testament, when the Word of God comes into our heart, the devil comes immediately to steal it. Because that's the one weapon that's going to whip him. He knows it. That's why we're to teach children the Word of God so they'll grow up and be strong in faith. That's what Psalm 78 was all about, that your children might have hope in God because you've told them about me and my ways, my works, my wonders, my miracles. And they'll want to trust me, not try to be famous themselves or be somebody themselves. They'll be something because I'll be something in them and through them. And so it's so important, kids are. The next generation, our country's future is dependent on what we teach our children today. Because you've already seen, they're taking over our government. They're taking over our education. We're getting to the point where God's not being allowed to taught. You know, when I went to public school in elementary school, we memorized Bible scripture every morning. We pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States. We pledged allegiance to the Christian flag. We read the Bible, and we memorized Psalms in the first grade in public school. Didn't seem to mess us up, but somewhere somebody thought, man, that would be horrible. That would be an evil thing. So we're going to disallow the Word of God. The only thing that can change somebody, the Word of God, we're going to make a law that you can't teach that in public school. And then not only that, we're going to try to mess them up really good because the Bible says that the foundations will be destroyed. What can the righteous do? So we're not going to teach you came from God. That's illegal. We're going to teach you that two amoebas went crazy, turned into mud, became a tadpole, grew legs, walked out onto the ground, grabbed a banana, swung from a tree, and thus here we are. That is a federal law that we must teach that today. Do you see how far we've come? Just in my short lifespan, and we've been here for thousands of years, but just in my short lifespan where we used to be able to memorize and read the Word of God, say prayers every morning in public school. You know, it wasn't a big religious thing. We're having a little prayer thing. Teacher's going to pray over us, going to read the Bible, memorize a psalm, pledge allegiance to the flag. It was normal. Today, that's illegal. Not only is that illegal, we can't even talk about God. That's illegal. To talk about it and to tell it we evolved from something, became what we are right now. And so look, what happens is parents are critical now. It's so important what parents do. It starts with us anyhow. The next generation starts with what we do and what we teach. So God had a plan. And that was that we would have children, that we would get married, find a spouse, fall in love, get married, and then build our own family. That we would produce a seed that God said would be arrows in our hand. And that we were to teach them and train them and up to become a godly seed. What's godly? Well, they have faith in God. We've taught them about God, that God's real and he's good. And he sent his son to die for us, to save us from our sins so we can live forever in heaven and not go to hell. To teach us how to live our life, treat one another, treat our spouse better, how to love our spouses, how to love our children, how to provide for them, how to not be poor and broke and insane. How to take care of the poor and the widows, the unemployed. God wants us to be a blessing to other people. To teach us how we're to be the salt and the light, that we have a reason to get up in the morning. That God wants to prosper what we set our hand to, give us a shield of divine favor. God has so many great things. And so if you do that, then our children leave home with hope. It doesn't matter what the economy's doing. It doesn't matter what the weather is. What do you know? I know God. God's good. He's for me. He's not against me. God's trying to bless me. So what I'm doing, I'm going to pray three things for your children today. And we come back, we're going to talk about specifically how we're going to carry this out and parenting. Three things I've always prayed over my family. Number one, Psalm 34:11. Father, I give you permission to teach my children. Sarah, Jessica, Cortez, Lauren, John, I give you permission. Teach my children to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And with that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. I pray this prayer every morning and every night before I go to sleep. I never go to bed without praying this prayer. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm just tired and I'm just mouthing. But it's still the Word of God. And God said, I will watch over my word to perform it. So every day, Father, I thank you. You're teaching my children to fear you. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I thank you, Father. You said if we lack wisdom, we can ask you and you'll give it to us liberally. Bucket loads and not yell at us. So, Father, I thank you for giving my children liberal wisdom for practical, successful daily living. Wisdom that will bring them long life, not die early. Wealth and riches won't be broke all their life, and honor. Whatever they do is going to make them look good, make you look good. Number two, I pray Psalms 5, verse 12, which says this. God says, I will surround the righteous with a shield of divine favor. And so I pray that over my children all their life. Father, I thank you. My children walk with a shield of divine favor. People like them, they don't even know why. Teachers like my kids, coaches like my kids, college professors like my kids, bosses like my kids, employees like my kids. We walk, unless you lied, and I don't think you did. Jesus has made unto us righteousness. It's not our righteousness, our faith in his righteousness that's ours now. And you said, I will surround the righteous with the shield of divine favor. People like us, and they don't even know why. And then the third thing I pray is Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. So I say, Father, I thank you for, I don't care if you have to promote some family from five states away and bring them next door. Bring godly friends, not weak, not wimpy, not evil. Bring godly friends into my children's life that will begin to strike iron with them and cause them to grow and become all you want them to be. I believe this. God says in 1 John 5, if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. If I know he hears me, I know I have the answer of what I've asked. So I pray that for you today. God bless your children. Fear of God, favor of God, and godly friends in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray God's best for you and your family. For more resources, to become a partner, or to share your story of hope restored, visit us at joemcgeeministries.com.